Great to have your company, Adelaide. That's right. He does that every single day of the week. The great, the one only, the better Jarman. Andrew Juice Newton. Jarman Juice, welcome to Thursday.
G'day, Louis. G'day, Adelaide. Hello, world. Good to be here on a Thursday. Humid conditions out there for the family, so just make sure you look after each other, look after your pets. But we're excited because we've got one of the greats joining us live the next hour.
We're going to take you back to your childhood and your teenage years. The man that stood behind the stumps.
Oh,
through one of the golden eras of Australian cricket, the one and only Rodney Marsh. There's a new book out. We'll join us live in studio. Be prepared to go back in time.
We are.
Be prepared to unbutton the shirt right down to the navel.
And the moustache.
Be prepared to just start lacing a few through the covers because he's going to take us all the way back to what it was like doing
it's
the Ashes playing
against
England. DK, Tomo, all of the boys.
Dougie.
Chappelli, name it. We're going to go there. All right, and we'll find out whether he's still got a fear of snakes.
Yeah,
trust me, you'll enjoy the story. All right. The AFL draw is out. The 2019 Toyota AFL Premiership season fixture, as the AFL wishes for me to say, that is out yesterday on the show, was it? Or Tuesday?
It was yesterday.
Thank you very much, Murph.
Apologise.
Jars said he had intel.
Yeah, I did.
Had the ability to tell us what round two was. Of course, the AFL's way, they leaked round one, gave it to everyone, but Jars thought he knew better and said, I've got my cotton picking fingers on. Can I say that anymore?
Yeah, of course you can.
Probably not.
I might just retract that just in case.
Oh,
anybody listening?
Honestly, you could get 4 days.
Jars got his thieving mitts on. What he thought was round two. Not sure whether I should give out round two and then let's play Jars's round two.
Just play me, please.
All right, here's what Jars said yesterday of his intel, his Alistair Clarkson-esque intel on round two fixture.
Friday, your boys, Swans, take on the Melbourne Football Club. Saturday, Port Adelaide take on GWS at Adelaide Oval. This is for round two,
this
family.
Round two,
4 o'clock kickoff. Also on Saturday, Cats take on Frio. Eagles take on St Kilda. This is Saturday fixture. Sunday,
yes.
Crows take on North Melbourne. Etihad Stadium. Essendon take on Carlton. And then the Derby, Lions v the Suns.
Right, now, for those interested, here is actual round two. Thursday night, Richmond v Collingwood.
I got
MCG.
That right. I got that right.
Friday, Sydney v Adelaide Crows SCG.
Yeah, that's been
Saturday,
changed.
Essendon St Kilda, Port
changed.
Adelaide v Carlton.
Yeah, that's changed.
Cats v Melbourne.
Changed, yeah.
West Coast Eagles v GWS. And then Sunday, what were you, 0-5 at this point? 1-5. North Melbourne v Brisbane. Hawthorn v Western
got
Bulldogs.
That right.
And not the Q clash. Gold Coast Suns take on Fremantle. All right. Fair dinkum. I think it is this point that we issue a cease and desist.
Can I say something in defence?
Yeah, please do.
The AFL were meant to bring out this fixture on the Wednesday, correct?
Day before,
All right.
Mm-hmm.
They said we needed another 24 hours because we had to make some change.
Intel
is that there was some changes in round two round 21.
God.
All right. Now, I've got to defend myself here because the bloke that gave me the intel is very, very good. He's high up in the establishment. That's all I'll say.
All I'll say
I've got two out of the nine games or seven games correct.
I reckon two ever predictions right on this show.
anyway.
I'm going to go with an early crow here.
Can
right
I apologise then?
Hang on a sec. 133353. We'll do this in our own time too, but call through. Get on Twitter. His Jars needs to, he needs to be banned from predictions for a period of length of time. I put it to your family.
You can't do it, David.
That we've got a Steve Smith, this sucker, right now. It's akin to sandpapering the nut, the agate. Jars has rubbed me and hopefully you up the wrong way one too many times. 133353. What's Jars' suspension from predictions? Give us a call right now.
The press conference first.
The rush hour with the predictor, Not, and Louie.
No,
you're done.
Oh,
you cry at the press conference?
Yeah.
I never cry, you know that.
You blubber.
It's the Rush Hour with Jars and Louis at Triple M. Jars and Louis, 104.7 Triple M.
We're talking about the 2019 Toyota AFL Premiership season fixture, but we just have to sit back a touch because Jars incorrectly identified round two. What did you get right, Murph? Two out of the nine?
Yeah,
I got two out of that.
And that's been generous. I've asked the family and we've gone to Twitter as well whether Jars should face a suspension from predicting. Just quickly on Twitter, Lukey Gill says, Jars be banned until he gets down under 100 kegs. Hashtag motivation.
Oh, Lukey.
Don't mind that.
Yeah.
And Matty Ryan says, what's Jars' tips for the Derby Melbourne Cup and Oaks this week, just so I can can avoid them.
Hashtag
Jars the Predictor.
Oh, Matty. Can I go to Michael of Woodcroft? G'day, Mick.
Mick, your thoughts?
G'day. How's it going, Louis?
Really good. What are we going to do?
Pre-season bad, mate.
Yeah, pre-season.
Pre-season.
Yeah, I like it.
Put the plants on it for pre-season.
Yep, no top eights, no, none of that stuff. Just stay right away from it.
Got Greg on the phone as well.
Thank you, Michael.
I'll do that, Sean. Greg of Palauwee. G'day, Greg.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Greggy, what do we do? The punishment for Jars the Predictor.
Greg, I was let down.
I reckon he ought to be banned from making predictions until he gets one right. That's why we don't have to suffer through all this incorrection.
Tell you what he's doing right now. It's a very valid point you make, Greg.
That's a slap.
I tell you what, I wish Paul the Octopus was still alive, because he's more trustworthy than you, Jar.
Can I give Greg a prize, please, to the basketball?
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Yeah, courtside, double pass to courtside. Jars and Louis' seats there, mate. Courtside seats to see LA 36ers take on Brisbane this Sunday.
Who?
Tickets at Ticketmaster.
Greg, that would be the Adelaide 36ers.
36ers, yeah.
Right. Only catch is, Greg, you or your mate have got to go as Jack Nicholson and Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch. That's our only quote.
All right. Dress up.
Well, I almost got the Jack Nicholson hair, so.
Nice. Thanks for the call, mate. Really appreciate it. There you go. Enjoy our seats. Just quickly, though, Port fans, your draw. Round 8, you've got a home showdown.
Yeah.
Saturday night, too, which is great news, Jars. The China game, of course, has been moved to round 11
That's
now.
That's better
which
for
I think
Adelaide.
Is a good win.
Yeah.
Friday night, Anzac round over at Optus Stadium. Of course, also Friday night in footy with Good Friday.
Yeah.
The doubleheader, they got given that gig.
Mm-hmm.
6 Saturday night or twilight home games.
Yeah.
And you travel to Melbourne, Perth, Brisbane, Shanghai, and Tassie. And again, like last year or this year, 4 straight weeks at Adelaide Oval as well.
Well, Adelaide Crows have got they've got a good prime time and special event games. They've got 2 Thursday night games, which they own. I think they own Thursday nights, the Adelaide Crows.
Yep.
3 Friday night games. That's the one you want to be involved in, which is very good for the Adelaide Crows.
Koshy will love that.
Koshy will love that. But the Crows' first 3 weeks, Hawthorn, Swans and the Cats.
Ooh.
That's a tough start for the Adelaide Crows compared to Port Adelaide, Melbourne, Carlton and Lions. So, but anyway, you've got to play these sides. You've got to get the job done. Collingwood, prime time specialists. They're the kings.
Absolutely.
They have been rewarded again by the AFL.
Well, the AFL are banking on Essendon and Collingwood. If you want to go off the champion data predictor in hardness to easiest, the hardest draw is Collingwood and Hawthorn at 1 and 2.
Jeez.
The easiest draws, Adelaide Crows and St Kilda at 17 and 18. Oh. Port sit 10th. So a medium part of the road of the draw for Port Adelaide, according to champion data going off.
I think
data.
Hawthorn have copped the big stick.
Right between the eyes.
For 2019. Oh, and the Blues, well, they've been banished.
So primetime games, Magpies 11, Bombers 8, Tigers 7, Swans, Demons, Hawks 6, Cats and Crows 5, Kangaroos, Eagles 4, Port 3, Giants 2, the Lions, Bulldogs and Blues 1. Mm. And thank heavens for sweet mercies, Carlton. Only 1 Thursday night game this year coming up. Fantastic.
Beautiful.
And those with the big donutus, and I guess their names.
We don't want to watch you.
St Kilda, the Gold Coast Suns and the Dockers.
Rossi line will be flat.
I want to
Jesse Hogan will be flat.
I want to see Rossi going off. Jeez, I hope Ross didn't promise Jesse prime time over there in Perth. He's going to be in all sorts.
Anyway.
It's out there in all its glory.
It's all done, Dustin.
Don't ring and ask Jars for what happened. He has no idea how it played out.
No.
In fact, so much so we're calling him Simon Lethlean in here. The man that knows the draw but doesn't know the draw.
You can check out the fixture actually on the Triple M website, triplem.com.
Do you want to have a guess at the floating round 23 fixture? Righto, Jars, a real treat. There is a new book out, and it is celebrating 50 years of first class cricket. It's a man we grew up with, a man we wanted to be at times, a man that I wish I could grow the moustache like the one and only Rod Marsh.
Yeah.
Marshy, or should we say Backus, welcome to the studio.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. To be Dennis Lilly. That's who I grew up as, and my brother Darren wanted to be like you.
Oh, well, that's
so
all right.
I used to get him out a fair bit.
Yeah. Well, Dennis would have got me out. He bowled to me much, but I was silly enough to face him in the nets, and that was enough for me.
Oh, dear.
I like some of the comparisons, and we'll get to the journey because the book takes you through 50 years. There's not a lot you haven't done, mate, in cricket. You've held just about every post there is, but I love your commentary, Ree Lilly and Thompson, the fact that it was hard enough watching or having them bowl to you from another 30 yards back than it was at the 22-yard line. It was much better back where you were.
It certainly was. And, I mean, some of the most harrowing times of my cricket life were batting against Tomo at the Wacker.
Oh, no.
Without a helmet.
That's a death wish.
Just,
Yeah, that was.
Jeez.
That's when Tomo was at his very quickest before he had that injury. And, I mean, he was lightning. Absolutely lightning.
So what sound was that making? We've all dabbled and played a bit on turf. And we know when you get those fizzes that come through, they make that sound that really make the hairs on the back of the neck stand up. What were DK and Tomo sending them through like? And what was that thud like into your hands?
Yeah, well, as I say, honestly, keeping to them wasn't a problem because you stand that far back. Mm. And you're getting the ball as it's losing its pace, not as it's gaining its pace when you bat against it. But I mean, the fear in the batsman's eyes, you know, when they batted against those two was something to behold.
You spoke about the helmets. Talk about the time Centenary Test when Rick McCosker does his infamous comeback out to bat. Baggy Green is strapped on via bandages.
Yeah.
First ball comes down, and what does he do?
Hooks it.
Hooks it for four.
As you do.
As you do. Broken jaw being held together by bandage. Yeah. And again, in an era where no helmets are around. I mean, that talk about courage.
Yeah. Well, I think it was almost good that he, I think John Lever was the bowler. And it was almost good that he did bowl short to him because it was Rick's best shot as well. Yeah.
Can I ask, the man that was being the runner for Rick was Skull. Kerry O'Keefe, who is now notorious for his storytelling and seems to be getting like better with age. What was Skull like to bat with as a runner?
I didn't really pay that much attention to Skull. I was worried about McCosker dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing that was going through my head. This bloke's going to die here. Yeah. So I don't even remember Skull being out there, really.
Might be a misprint.
Mate, Ian Chappell, one of the great captains of all time for Australian cricket, called you a thieving bastard in slips. What was that, Backus?
Oh, he reckons he would have got a few more catches had I not been keeping, that's all. But, he used to get a bit close to me at times and I'd have to get rid of him and get him a bit wider, give him a bit of room to move.
So at the end of the over, did you roll over and just change his mark, just put a little scratch a little wider? So that's where you are, Chappelli.
You didn't often criticise him because you knew exactly where his heart lay, and that was with Australia and his team.
Is he the best we've ever had?
I think so. Oh, well, it's hard to say. You can't compare eras, but certainly in my time he was my best captain.
You went to university simply to play cricket.
Yeah, well, they had a leg spinner there. Tony Mann, that did play a few games for Australia, and I wanted to keep to him. And I also had the state keeper playing for West Perth, so it was a good place to go and forget the study.
I read with interest that the attendance record wasn't great and you got found out.
At uni? Yeah. I got found out all right. Yeah.
Maybe for a whole term didn't even front.
It didn't, because if you think about it, I mean, there was cricket practice on Tuesday and Thursday night, and that's when at lecture time for Geography 1-0 was the subject.
Yep.
And then on Wednesday night was the tutorial. And that was state practice. So, you know, you just couldn't go to lectures.
Mate, it was a fascinating book last night to read, Rod Marsh by Rod Marsh. Now, you and Dennis Lilly need to, and obviously Molly Meldrum will address this, but you guys found ABBA back in 1970 before anyone else did in Australia.
I think it was 1975, I think.
Was it?
Whatever year it was. Right. We did.
Dennis loved his music.
Yeah, their music. ABBA's. And we were in a place in Hong Kong, and he pulled me in. You know, he used to go in there, put the earphones
That's
on,
right. yep.
listen to the record, and he called me and he said, "God, you got to hear this." Mm. And so I said, "Yeah, that's all right." He said, "You going to buy it?" And I said, "We'll buy it."
What song was it?
And then it was the album. I think it was called ABBA's Greatest Hits.
Wow.
We'd never heard of them. How could they have greatest hits? So that came back to Australia with both of us, came back to Perth, and every time we had anyone around, we'd play this record. Oh, yeah. And they, oh, gee, that's good music.
It's a great band.
we got nothing for it.
Did DK, and I need it fact check now, was he the first also to say, "Do yourself a favour," and Molly stole that?
I'm not sure about that. I'll just check.
Hey, love Molly.
I love an unbuttoned shirt, Backus. I love it, but You took it to a new level. Yeah. It was all the way down to the navel.
That was Dennis. That wasn't me. That was Dennis.
Yours was loose.
No,
yours was very.
I know. It got Dennis hot out there. Richie Benno was the first, yes, you know. Richie Benno was the great first. Man. Yeah.
So what was it? Just the tradition it was because it was hot and obviously the garments weren't what they are now and they weren't the breathability.
Oh, I don't know.
All the piss coming out from the night before.
Yeah, that would probably have something to do with it. But no, Dennis was the one that in our team that had the one button undone lower than anyone else.
Mate, you can't do it without a great wife. You can't do it. And you spoke highly of Roz in the book, and she's a beauty. If you could present her with a medal, what would it be? And what would it be called? Because she's been there from day one, hasn't she?
I'm not sure what it'd be called, but I think
it's a tough gig for a cricket wife.
Yeah, it is. And especially in the early days when you couldn't.
I'll have a crack at the name. Give her the Rod Marsh medal.
No, she wouldn't accept that.
She wouldn't.
No.
I just think they deserve a medal.
Yeah, they do. And, I mean, she's been terrific. And we're starting to reap some benefits now. Yep. We're going on a few holidays. Nice. And, you know, it's good.
Grandkids are going well.
They're,
any little AFL footballers amongst them? Or are we going?
I don't know. All but wrong. It's, you never know.
Because
speaking of footy, what the hell were you and Dennis doing on the rest day?
In a Richmond jumper.
In the centenary. You're 95, not out, and you think you're going to go and have a kick of footy.
And for 2 hours.
Yeah, not just a kick.
No, for 2 hours.
What were you doing?
Well, we're being blokes, a bit of fun.
Not your day off.
Rest day. You
got to protect
Dennis,
your fingers.
I didn't think Dennis. I mean, he'd bowled a lot of overs. He hadn't bowled a lot of overs. Remember in the first innings because we bowled him out.
That's
for whatever it was.
Got him cheap.
What did we bowl him out for? Not many.
No, he got
really
him cheap.
90 odd.
Yeah,
under 100.
Yeah,
and so he was pretty fresh, and he probably needed a run. You know?
All right, let's talk about
the
punt, the bet. Which, if it wasn't for Dennis coming clean in his silly book, it would have all been just a great story.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you would have never and still haven't lied to anyone, like you said, because you didn't place the bet.
No, I did not place the bet.
500-1. Pretty sweet odds.
Good
Dennis
odds.
had £10 on it, and you changed your mind as you walked back out, didn't you?
Dennis wanted 50 quid on it, and I wouldn't allow him.
Oh, okay.
And that's the truth of it all.
Yeah.
And I said, you should imagine what you can buy in 1981.
Oh, wow.
With 50 quid, he could have bought a block of land or something. Mm. So anyway, I talked him out of that. Foolishly.
Yeah. Got him down to 10.
But then when I did the math, when he was, I thought, what's 10 times 500? That's 5. Jeez, I thought, I better have 5 on that. So.
And like you said, there was no cohesion or anything to try and alter the result. It was just one of those things, those spur of the moment things that you guys seem to have about your friendship. It was just play hard, work hard, whatever we do.
Yep.
And the result, we'll just have a speculative bet on it.
Oh, well, I mean, how could we lose? Yeah. That was the thing.
Exactly.
We couldn't lose the match. Both of them had different ideas, but there you go.
I've got a tough one for you, great man. Who's the greatest of all time, Gary Sobers or Dennis Lilly?
Well, Dennis, the greatest fast bowler of my era, sure and certain, and I think everyone will agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the greatest cricketer I've ever seen is Gary Sobers.
Wow.
Mm. I mean, Gary Sobers could do anything. And whatever he did very well. He was an outstanding talent.
Unique.
Outstanding talent. Mm. Yeah.
What about your favourite tour? What was your best
favourite tour? Was 1972 to England. Yep. We got paid £1,200 and couldn't have given a damn for 5.5 months. Played 29 first-class matches in 5.5 months, although I didn't play a lot apart from the test matches because I had to play my golf as well. So
yeah, fair call.
That was important.
Yeah, some good courses over there.
Yeah, some very good courses. The reason I didn't play, we had another wicket keeper and Brian Tabor.
Yep.
And, you know, he had to get game time as well. So I played every game, I think, before the five test matches and the odd other game in the warm-up. So I probably would have played maybe 16 or 17 first-class games in that time, which is good.
The West Indies, you were a part of that era where they, I think we got our own on them, but then they have very, very long memories and they decided just to ruin us for the next decade or so.
Pitched our blueprint, didn't they?
They did. 75-6, we beat them 5-1 in Australia after they
lost
beat
the
us.
First one too, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we lost the second in Perth. We won the first. Greg took over from Ian.
Mm-hmm.
And he got 100 in each innings in Brisbane, I reckon.
Yep.
And then we lost in Perth after getting 350 or something
that's
like that
right.
in the first inning. Mm. And we thought, well, that's a good score.
Yeah. Mm.
And then Roy Fredericks got 169.
The left-hander.
Got 100 in a session. Hit the first ball at Dennis Bowl for six. I'll never forget that.
Oh, no.
First ball. Just hit it for six. I thought, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Okay.
Seeing them well.
You've awoken the bear.
And sort of 10 minutes before we went in, and at the second session, so a two-hour session, and 110 minutes he brought up his 100. So off about, I reckon it was only 60 or 70 balls, it seemed anyway.
Yeah.
And Lloydie got 100, and it was just...
A long day.
Well, it was a good day. It wasn't that long, really. They just absolutely belted us.
So then from that point on, that they copy the blueprint, they get quick, they get the four quicks, and then they just terrorise us. So what's that like facing up to that world class? Like, I mean,
and no helmets.
Michael Holding asking questions of Bruce Laird, have you finished having kids after he gets him in the plums?
Yeah. mean, what a good man stuff. Michael Holding is. He's just a lovely bloke. Andy Roberts was the sort of guy that pulled those four quicks together.
Right.
And I didn't get to face Malcolm Marshall except in a one-day game because he was only a baby.
Yeah.
And... You know, I mean, they reckon he was the best of all of them.
They said that, didn't they?
Oh, jeez.
Inside.
So, Rod, do you look back at that? And we look at the safety mechanisms now and the actual safety issues of playing cricket, and we've seen it, unfortunately, firsthand, what can happen.
Yeah.
You guys played through an era against probably, well, quite rightly so, the quickest bowlers we've ever seen almost, with no helmets and very little protection.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always said that I got hit less times not wearing a helmet. As soon as I put on a helmet, I get hit in the head.
Because it's
tight. Take your eye off the ball. And, you know, to my way of thinking, in some ways it's safer to bat without a helmet.
Yeah.
But you'll never convince anyone of that now.
Yeah, not now.
No. Just like these bike helmets. And
well, they're trying to do it now.
Yeah.
And they're also trying to now get the cyclists to say, if I don't ride on the road, I don't need a helmet.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't know where we're going with all that one. Funniest moment in the change rooms? You got one that comes out?
No, it was all fun. Mm. But, you know, you always had people like Doug Walters, for example. Yeah, I mean, Dougie was just the master of timing with a statement. You know, he'd either state the obvious or he would state something totally obscure but have a damn good reason for saying it.
Mm.
You know, and he had a memory like an elephant. He would remember things from four tours ago and then bring it up. And... He's a very, very smart man, Dougie, with that.
Great characters, aren't
they? Yeah.
Have we lost our characters?
Because
we don't seem to... I don't know as much about my cricketers as I once did, and I know I have other things on my plate, but I could have told you everything about the Australian 11. I could have reeled them off.
Yeah.
Given you the whole CV of their likes, their dislikes, the cars they drove. We were so in love with that era of cricket.
But now
It just seems, and this latest recommendation has added to the woes. The polish is certainly off it, isn't it?
Well, it's difficult. You know, they play for that much. Well, they play that much, and they play, and they get paid that much.
Yeah.
And I will never begrudge how much they get paid. Yeah. I mean, I'm not one of those old blokes that say, I wish I'd have played in their era and got all this money. I'm just tickled pink that I played in the era I played in and had a lot of fun because it's a game. Mm. That's the whole thing. It is a game. And I think footy's become the same a little bit. I mean, I'm not sure they have a lot of fun playing footy now.
There's not a lot of fun happening.
No, they don't, mate. No. And there's no characters in our game left.
No, it's tough, isn't it?
So the 42 recommendations, the reduction of punishments, have you got a take on that? Where do we go from here?
I still haven't read the whole thing. I've just read what's been in the paper. And, you know, it's not going to make any difference if I read it or not. All I hope is that the game doesn't suffer too much as a result of all this that's happened. But when you put it in perspective, compared with World Series cricket, this is nothing.
Yeah.
This is absolutely nothing. World Series cricket,
we
weren't very well liked for a few years.
You got sent to VFL Park.
Footy Park.
You were the whipping boys, weren't you?
I went down there that day, Footy Park. It was me and about 10 other people.
Yeah, and how hot was it?
Oh, 40 degrees.
Not a good place to play cricket.
No seats.
No.
I mean... And then, just quickly, there's the playing days. Crossing over to the arch enemy, big call.
Yeah.
Big plums.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I mean, I felt as though I'd given plenty here and I needed to learn more about cricket worldwide, and it was a great opportunity. And, I mean, I had a fantastic 4 years over there, and, I mean, I felt as though I'd learnt a lot from going there, and... I mean, I don't think the game suffered as a result of my going there. In fact,
but you've left a bit of a legacy there, though.
they're a lot more competitive now. They're a lot more organised. Yeah. Their structure are in place.
Yes.
They've got some good talent coming.
They have. They're a good cricket team at the moment.
Absolutely. They are.
Yeah. Final question for you. Are you still scared of snakes?
Am I still scared of
that
snakes?
That was one of
the story in the book. Story in the book went out. Come on. Full driving with Dennis.
DK, yeah.
What was the deal done with Jeep? And it was the Sportsman, and you guys put X in front of the Sportsman.
He did. X.
Because you couldn't change your tyre, could you?
Well, I
that's anti-man behaviour. Go.
No, I've got no idea. Well, how to change. I still don't know.
Here's what's happened. They've seen a big black on the track. Rod is following Dennis. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right,
in the bush.
Yeah, right out in the middle of nowhere. There's been a big black snake on on the road.
Was it a biggie?
Biggie?
A tiger snake.
And then what? 100 yards up the road, you get a flat?
100 yards up the road, I must hit this rock and I hear the psh. The thing goes and he says, I flash the lights and he stops and they all get out and they come back and he said, what's wrong? I said, tyre. He said, we'll change it. I said, well, where's the spare? I had a look in the boot. There's nothing in the boot. Right. It's underneath the car. So he said, go on, get underneath that. And so I get a pair of shorts on. I get under there and I'm starting to undo the thing. And, of course, he runs his hand up my leg. Well, having seen the snake 100 metres before... my head's come up and I've crashed my head on the top of the head. Knocked myself out.
Did Karma get DK, who had a habit of sitting in the passenger seat and whacking the side of the car as you were reversing? Did it get in the day that his very expensive watch fell off and got wrecked?
Yes, it did. He broke his watch and he couldn't work out why. We all knew why. That was in the West Indies.
Brilliant, mate.
Oh, very fun.
Now, tomorrow we can see you in the flesh.
Yep. Dimmicks, Rundle Mall, 12 o'clock. If you want to go down to the book signing of Rod Marsh, celebrating 50 years of first-class cricket. It'll take you back to either your teenage years or your childhood. It's just great reminiscing, Rod, and also some of the stuff and your great work that a lot of us really don't know in depth. So well done on the book.
Thank you.
And well done on a great career. And we love you dearly, mate.
Thank you.
See you, mate. See you on the golf course.
Yeah. I'll be there.
He's out there. Make sure you play fast. He'll hit up on you. And one and only Rod Marsh from the Rush Hour with Jars and Louis, 104.7 Triple M.
Rush Hour now with Jars and Louis at Triple M.
Sculling of a beer
is
a very important, it's almost a rite of passage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and said with love and seriousness and just put together the, you know, the whole correct stuff
park
for
it.
A moment. Yeah, just for a moment.
Just park it.
Our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, last night at the PM's 11, the one day out with his boys, his team versus South Africa.
Yep, Australian tradition.
Tried to neck one.
Did he?
Fair bit of spillage.
Oh, no.
Let's just say he's no Bob Hawke, and I think Bob still got him at 88.
Yeah, Bob.
Let's be honest.
That's where it all started from, Bob, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's Bob's baby.
It is, because Bob, obviously, as a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford, did the yard glass in the fastest time ever.
There you go.
So
he's conditioned.
Abbott's had a crack at it. I've just been doing a little bit of research
Tone's no good.
He was no good. Again, way too much. I'm thinking you've got to have your own thing. Yeah, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Malcolm got done with the baby in the arms at the Swans with a beer on the handle, even though he didn't try and drop the lot at the same time.
No.
I feel like it's Bob's move.
Yeah, it is.
Like the shoey is Daniel Ricciardo's move.
That's his baby.
Usain Bolt's is his celebration move.
Little Craigie tried to take it off.
I feel like everybody owns their own type of signature style. And I don't think Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister ScoMo, can really piggyback in on the back of that, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm with you, Lou.
Do you know? So... Yeah. I don't know what he can do to get his own thing, but it seems to be the way when you get real desperate, you just try and neck one.
And you can't spill it.
No.
You know, that's precious stuff.
Well, I mean...
That's gold.
What I do...
It's good liquid.
It's liquid gold, my friend. I look at that and I go, that's the old Ron Barassian, I'll say it again, piss poor preparation. If you're his aide or in his close company...
Get him ready.
Train him up.
Take him away for a couple of weeks and get him ready.
You don't randomly go, hey, by the way, you're Prime Minister now, we're going to drop the next one at the cricket.
Yeah.
If he hasn't put two to three good hard weeks of training you know, start with water.
The camera's going to... Yeah, there you go.
Whatever you got to do.
There you go. Training wheel stuff.
Train the gullet to open up so it goes and it's gone.
Why couldn't the ScoMo just have a crack at a jug?
Yeah, or something different.
Yeah, not,
get someone's car keys, shoot that bad boy.
There you go.
Shoot it down, squeeze it out, and then bang. Drop it, stand on it, and then give it to someone who's recycling and collecting.
That could be him. That's his.
You get your own move.
Yeah, ScoMo.
Scott
Morrison. Lost a few votes, champ.
The PM's 11. if you can't scull, get your players to do it.
There you go. There
get
you
the cricketers to do it.
And then get the bus home.
Yeah. See, they're all on the bus anyhow.
I like it, Lou.
I mean,
all right.
I think The irony is, get your own move.
See ya.
Get your own move, like this show.
Bye, Adelaide.